All right. Well, it's a blessing to be here. We thank y'all so much for allowing us to come. And we're excited to be up here. This is actually one of our first times up in Madisonville. We've stopped in Brother Richardson's church a couple times. And we're glad to be up here. It's one of our first times up in Madisonville. My wife, I don't know much about Western Kentucky because she's not from here. And she's from Missouri. And she spent most of her time in Kentucky out in Lexington. And we got married right after Bible college, and so we spent 3 years there. So she knows Central Kentucky very well, and so she's not seen much of Western Kentucky. So it was a blessing for her to come up to Madisonville. And all of our ladies in our church, when they have babies, they come to Madisonville, because no one wants to have a baby at Jenny Stewart in Hopkinsville. So, so they all come up here. There's a good midwife up here, and so it's nice for her to see. Where if the Lord allows us to have a baby while we're here in Kentucky, to see where we're going to have a baby at. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let me get this thing to work here, amen. I went digital, maybe a year and a half ago. I got tired of leaving my sermons in pulpits across America, and I decided to start carrying them with me. On the iPad, it's a lot easier to do it that way. Romans chapter 13, we're going to begin in verse number 11. And if y'all will bear with me, I will go through quickly. And my Yankee might come out in me, so I might start speaking like a New Englander. And I'm just sorry for that. That's just what happens. The Bible says in that knowing the time, Romans chapter 13, verse number 11, that knowing the time, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And pay attention to these personal pronouns here. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Paul's not speaking to the world here. Paul's not speaking to the White House, to Congress. He's not speaking to Hollywood. He's speaking to the church at Rome.
Amen.
And he said, let us walk honestly as in the day. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity you've given us to come to your house, Lord, even on a Saturday, Lord, that we can come to a revival. And Lord, thank you for America. Lord, that we can come to your house freely. And Lord, we don't have to worry about setting up different times and different schedules to go to church, but we can just come in and out freely. Lord, thank you for this church, Lord, and the lighthouse that has been here in Madisonville for generations. Thank you for Dr. Hall, and thank you for Brother Shepherd, Lord, and the vision they have to reach this area in Western Kentucky with the gospel and the nation and the world. Lord, thank you for this church and how it stood on the old paths for years. And Lord, I ask that you'd bless this time and we'd be Holy Spirit attentive. Father, use me. Hide me behind the cross. And Lord, I can't do this without you. And Father, I wouldn't dare do it without you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Lord, we thank you for all you do. We care to give you the honor and the glory because you deserve it. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll give you a brief introduction. All throughout the Bible, there are prayers from God's people to God to awaken to hear their prayers. God's people pleading with God to hear them. Restore their land and bring truth and righteousness again. Isaiah 51:9 says, awake, awake, put on strength, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days and the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut off Rahab, Egypt, that and wounded the dragon? Right. Now we see in Psalm 44, the Bible says, awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Arise, cast us not off forever. Now if you're honest with the preacher today, you will say, I have been in times where it has felt like God is sleeping.
Sure. That's right.
That we have no idea what God is doing. Now, this year has been one of those years for me. Not because God's not doing anything. God is miraculously moving us toward China. He is propelling us, really. November, we were at 50%. When we saw Brother Ballou last, we were at 60%. And we are at 80%. We have gained 23% since November. Amen. And God is propelling. So it's not that I was worried about. But I'll tell you what, being a missionary, going to a foreign field and watching your country go downhill,
right.
You're wondering, what are you doing, God?
Right.
God, where are you?
Yep.
especially during this political year, it seems like God is sleeping. Am I correct? And Brother Blue, maybe it's just me, I don't know, but it seems like God is sleeping. And we know he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep.
Amen.
And God's not sleeping, but we are. God, just as much as we have pleaded for God in the Bible and pleaded in our lives to awake, God has a pleading in His Word for His people to awake.
Amen.
Because it's truly us who are sleeping. We are the ones who are sleeping on the job, if you will. A pleading, if you will, God has from God to His people, a cry of righteousness, a cry of His people to awaken out of their sleep. We see it in here in Romans chapter 13. The Bible says, and that knowing the time that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. Amen. Amen. Jesus is coming. We are living in the end times. Christ's return is imminent.
Right.
And we have no idea when Jesus is coming. He can come 5 minutes from now before we even get to eat.
Right.
That keeps sounding, kind of seems unfair to me. Jesus is a Baptist. You think He'd let us eat first. Amen. And you say, Brother Paul, Jesus is not a Baptist. He was baptized by John the Baptist. He's a Baptist. Amen. And so Jesus can come 5 minutes from now.
Amen.
We don't know when Jesus is coming back. We have no idea. Jesus can come 10 years from now, come 10 seconds from now. His return is imminent. We are living in the end times. But ladies and gentlemen, this should not cause us to give up and wait for His return, but to work with more fervor, to win more to the Lord, to do more for the kingdom, send more missionaries, print more Bibles, give out more tracts. In the Gospel of John, Jesus tells us that the night is coming when no man can work, but that time is not yet.
Right.
I remember when I first graduated from Bible college, I worked for McLane Corporation. It's a huge grocery distribution. It's the largest grocery distribution in the world, actually. And they distribute for Walmart and Target and all of that. And I worked down in Nicholasville, right outside of Lexington. And they moved me to the cooler freezer, negative 30 degrees. The cold is straight from the pits of hell, amen? I believe that's a direct result of the fall of man, is the cold. And so it was negative 30. Sometimes in that freezer, negative 15 to negative 30. And they give you suits, and none of those work, okay? It doesn't work. And so we're there. I'm on production. I got to pick 175 pieces an hour in the cold. Now, I'm more like a bear. Okay, when it gets cold, I like to eat a bunch of food and hibernate. And I don't want anything to do with the cold. And so to pick 175 pieces an hour, you have to move. You have to run, literally, to get those pieces done. Well, it finally got down to the point where they were seeing that some were picking production, some weren't. Some were picking higher than production. I wasn't one of the guys that was picking production or higher. And so they had a meeting. Corporate comes in, and they sit us all down at the table. And there's about five or six of us, and they say, hey, we want to ask you all some questions about production. We're thinking about changing it, and we're like, hey, amen, yes, please change production. And they said, we got a couple questions, though. Number one, Monday is the lowest day of production. Can you tell us why that is? Really, you guys are the smartest corporate can send us. It's Monday. No one wants to be here. Okay. Now, I don't know about these guys. I don't. They had 2 days off. Lord knows what they were doing. Okay. But I was working at the church. Okay. I had a bus ministry, a Chinese ministry. I was going to church 8:30 in the morning for early worship and then Sunday school and then English. And then we'd have our English. So we'd have Chinese, English Sunday school, English service, go home, get back up 6:30. Is question and answer with Dr. Fugit. So I'm there at 6:30, 7 o'clock is service. It is a church of 800-900 people. So by the time you get out of church and even get out the door, preacher's done at 8:15, it's 8:45. By the time I get out of the parking lot, I live 10 minutes from the church, it's 9:30 by the time I get home. And you want me here at 4 o'clock in the morning to pick 175 pieces an hour? Hello. That's why my production's down, amen? And they said, okay, well, Friday is your biggest production. I'm like, really, you guys are the smartest corporate could send us. It's Friday. The weekend is coming. Amen. All you guys on production, you know, hey, look, I'm done. I'm finished. The weekend's already here. You made us a deal that says as soon as you're done, if there's no other production, there's no overtime, you can go home. Buddy, I was chugging full throttles, coffee. I was doing everything I can. Every energy drink I could throw in my body, I was drinking. I was running up and down the aisles to get done. Go home and take a nap, amen? Because I crashed. All that caffeine, my body was, I was in a coma. And so I said, look, the weekend's here. I'm done. I'm going to work. The weekend's done. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday. The weekend's not here yet, but the weekend's coming. Eventually, we're going to be able to lay our burdens down and we're going to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and worship Him from all of eternity and sing His praises and cast our crowns before Him. But that time is not yet. Now it's time to work. It's just Friday. And because the weekend's coming doesn't mean we need to stop. We need to push. We need to prod. We need to propel. We need to do everything we possibly can to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. The imminent return of Christ should push and prod us to live a holy life of devotion to our King, a life fully given to Him and His service.
Amen.
We need to awake to the consciousness of the devil and his crowd. Hey, we need to awake. Matthew chapter 13, 24 is a story of the parable kingdoms. The kingdom parables are in Matthew 13. And you've got the story where the wheat and the tares. And they sowed the wheat, but the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. But you know what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 13? It says, but while men slept, the enemy came.
That's right.
Now, look, I believe in the literal translation of the King James Bible.
Sure.
And when the Bible says men slept, that means men slept. Men have to sleep, amen? But there's a spiritual application there. While men slept, that's when the enemy came.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, while we are sleeping in our pews and while we are standing and just waiting for Jesus to come, the enemy is sowing the tares.
You're right.
While we're sleeping, the enemy is sowing tares in our family to destroy our homes and destroy our children. And while we're sleeping, the enemy is coming and he's sowing tares in our churches and bringing cultural relevance and destroying the church of God. And we are losing the battle because we're sleeping. Now, I've read the end of the book. We win. But ladies and gentlemen, while we're sleeping, our country is falling apart.
Yep.
While we were sleeping, the homosexual crowd came in and moved their agenda.
You're right.
Has nothing, ladies and gentlemen, stop blaming Hollywood. Stop blaming the White House. Stop blaming God. It's the Christians' fault. We're doing nothing. We're sleeping. We're the ones allowing all of that to happen. If we do nothing about it, they win. While men slept, the enemy came. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We must awake out of our sleep and get the gospel to a lost and dying world. We must awake to fight the good fight, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, to earnestly contend for the faith.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we must wake up. Ladies and gentlemen, revival will not come from the White House. Okay, look, we can see that. Okay, we can see who we've got left. It's obviously not coming from the White House. And I think God may have done that on purpose this year, just to prove to us that the revival will never come from the White House. It'll never come from the State House. It'll never come from Congress. It'll never come from the mayor's office. But revival will and always has come from the house of God. When people of God got on their faces before an almighty God at an old-fashioned altar and said, enough is enough.
Amen.
It's time for us to wake up and do something about it. I'm sure you all saw the revival, the Burlington revival. What an amazing, amazing move of God. You said, Brother Paul, why do you think that happened? I think the people there fell on their faces before an almighty God and said, God, we need you. God, our neighbors are dying and going to hell. Our houses, our families are broken. Our marriages are falling apart. Our nation is falling apart. Our state needs you.
Yes.
And God said, I can use that. We need to wake out of our sleep.
Yes, sir.
And realize the enemy is a lot more real than we think he is.
Yes, sir.
Right. Lastly, for sake of time, the Bible says, awake to consciousness to millions in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Yes.
We must awake out of our sleep and get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Ladies and gentlemen, 40% of the world, 3 billion people, have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. 3 billion. 80% of the world has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus. 46% of America is unchurched. That is 118 million people on our own shores are unchurched. That is enough to be the 8th largest country in the world. Go up to the upper Midwest, and there is one gospel-preaching church for every 87,000 people. Listen, that's not China. That's not India. That's America. Yes, there are billions dying and going to hell on the other side of the earth. But there are millions right here in our own shores. And ladies and gentlemen, if there is one thing while we're on deputation I can get past and to the churches of America and the independent Baptist movement, is missions is not just sending out families across the sea. Missions is not taking a young couple and sending them overseas to preach the gospel to the heathen and preach the gospel to the tribes of Papua New Guinea and the billions of China. But missions is and always has been the individual in the local church living and breathing out the Great Commission every day.
Amen.
That's what missions is.
Amen.
And we must awake to the fact that there are millions of people dying and going to hell.
Amen.
That there are people all around us who are dying and going to hell. Think about it. Who in your sphere of influence needs to hear the gospel? Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. There are people who are ready to hear the gospel. Are we ready to give it to them?
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we must awake. We must wake up. The Bible says, awake and sin not. Awaken to righteousness. For there are those who have not the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame.
Right.
Our shame. We must do something. Preacher.